Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Tether McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode number 582, it is week three of our mentor series. Every summer, I usually republish previous episodes, and we call it the Summer of Mentorship. Well, this summer, I decided to share a few of my own thoughts in addition to some clips. So we have been strengthening relationships. I said in the first week that there's a Greek word, parakaleo. I want to make sure I'm saying it right. Parakaleo, which means to come alongside, and it also means to strengthen. And my hope, I've always said I'm walking alongside you, but I also just want to build up your mom heart, your mom thoughts, the relationships that matter. And so week one, we started with marriage. Week two was with your own children. And today I really want to focus in on a relationship that matters. It's the one you have with yourself. Because I've discovered something after years of talking with thousands of moms is that most of us aren't nearly as hard on our kids as we are on ourselves. We can extend grace to everybody else except for the woman staring back at us in the mirror. And maybe you know that feeling. You've lost your patience. You yell. You forget the one permission slip for school or the outfit they were supposed to wear. You scroll Instagram and suddenly every other mom seems to know exactly what to say and be more patient, more organized, more intentional. And before you know it, you've gone from I had a hard day to I'm a bad mom. And that's the lie I want to expose today. One of my favorite stories in the Don't Mom Alone book is actually about someone else's perceived failure. I was on this flight and I was watching a couple in front of me do an incredible job parenting their little baby. They were patient, they were creative, they were calm. Honestly, I wanted to hand them a parenting award. And then after we landed, their son had an accident. And the mom looked at me and sarcastically said, "Mother of the year." And I wanted to hug her and say, "No, you are a wonderful mom. One accident doesn't erase hours of patient love." And then God kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Heather, why don't you believe that about yourself?" Because a lot of times I don't. I have a scorecard. I remember a story in my own life. I was in the kitchen. I think I was cooking dinner and one of my boys yells out from the bathroom, "Hey, you want to meet my worms? I've named them." And I was like, record scratch, what? Worms? What are we talking about? I go into the bathroom and sure enough, and sorry, warning, this is disgusting, coming out of his poop are little worms. And I had to Google it. And it turns out they're pinworms. And if you've ever had pinworms go throughout your family, it's a situation. You have got to clean all of the sheets. You've got to, I mean, basically it is like a whole lockdown cleaning situation, almost akin to when they have, what is that called? Lice? Yes. So here's the deal. I felt like, oh my gosh, mother of the year. Here we go. What is wrong with me that my kid has pinworms? But really, it had nothing to do with me. It was just the reality of parenting, the reality of living in a world where there are pinworms. And it's this thing that we do where we move from, I made a mistake, or this is a mistake, or this is just hard, to I am a mistake. And that is not a conviction from God oftentimes. It's condemnation and it's shame. And I think that I've realized like so often because, and I know a lot of you who listen to this show, we're the kinds of moms who strive. We have really high standards for ourselves. We set this bar really, really high for our days and how they're going to go. And then when they fall short of that, instead of thinking, huh, maybe I'm setting too high of standard for myself, we think, huh, I failed. I'm bad. I did something wrong. When in reality, you didn't do something wrong. You just fell short of a really high expectation and bar. And so what happens oftentimes, and I've learned this in the work I've had through 12-step and all the different like emotional feelings cards that we've gone through, is that guilt is when you actually do something wrong. And I think when we say mom guilt, we're actually, it's not that we did something wrong. It's that we perceive we've done something wrong because of that high standard. What was really sneaky, and this is where I want to strengthen you and gird you up, is the enemy comes in and shame always stands on the shoulders of guilt and says not that we did something wrong, but that we are wrong. So I set this high standard, I strive, I fall short of the standard, or life comes in and it seems like a failure. And I feel this like, oh my gosh, that was wrong. Oh my gosh, I'm a bad mom. I am wrong. And I wanted to include a clip in this episode with a gal that I interviewed way back in 2019, actually 2018. We republished it in 2019 because at the time I interviewed her, it's Kim Fredrickson. She had written a book based on all of her teaching because she had had breast cancer and then it turned into pulmonary fibrosis, a terminal diagnosis. She was given 3 to 5 years. And so we republished it the summer after she had actually passed as an honoring of her life. She's written a book called Give Yourself a Break. She also wrote a book, Give Your Kids a Break, Having Compassion for Yourself. And so I just want to include her words on this concept of shame and grace and truth. And what do you say yourself when you mess up? How are you modeling to your kids this self-compassion so that they can also communicate about truth to themselves and show themselves grace? Maybe you listening can identify with this, that I am so hard on myself. I vividly remember we had little kids and it was the end of the day and I was doing the whole rundown of all the ways I'd messed up. And my husband's advice was, can't you just lighten up a little bit on yourself? Like, and I thought, oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. Like, how do I do that?
I'll just lighten up. I can't just lighten up and make it all go away. These voices in my head that are telling me what I should do. And I didn't even have Instagram then. I would be a whole wreck of a person with little kids and Instagram. I mean, I could not focus on what went well. Yeah. And I just love this concept of giving yourself compassion like you would to a friend. Mm-hmm. Like if my friend said all those things to me, what would I say to her?
Exactly. You know?
So how do we do this? Help me, Kim. Fix me and then fix everybody else while they're listening.
Oh, you're so funny. Well, I think, there's a lot of parts to it, but the first thing is being kind. Okay, so I'm going to say something and I'm going to demonstrate how I would talk to myself.
Okay, perfect.
The first thing is to be compassionate with yourself that you're not. Mm. Like, in other words, there are reasons why you and everyone listening have trouble being kind to themselves. There's really good reasons. So a lot of them can be your background growing up. You know, I mean, we kind of learn how to treat ourselves based on not just parents or grandparents. It could be teachers in school or coaches or, you know, there's just your family background that teaches you how to respond to yourself when you mess up. Well, if you've had that message, we're talking, I was going to say thousands, maybe millions of times.
Right.
Of course,
right.
That's going to be your first response. So like something I might say to myself about that is, you know, it's really hard to not have a compassionate voice inside. It's hard to instead have a critical voice that's beating me up. And I don't want to have that voice. At the same time, why on earth do I think I would know how to do that if I've never been taught? Like, that's nothing I've ever learned how to do. And the good news is I can learn.
This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Wayfair. Okay, y'all know I have 4 boys, teen boys, and the summer, our house is getting used, y'all. People are in and out of it all the time. You know what also is getting used? Water glasses for Dr. Peppers, all the things. And I decided a year ago that I was tired of not having something to put my LaCroix in. So I decided to brand a whole type of glass called a princess glass. And I was thrilled when I went on Wayfair and I started searching for glassware and they had the coveted princess glass. So I sure did order myself a bunch. And you know who always has a glass for LaCroix? this gal. The other thing is I kept seeing Instagram posts of like these beautiful primary bedroom like duvet situations. And I was like, I want that for my room. I want that kind of luxury. And so I sure went on Wayfair and I found an amazing duvet that I absolutely love. I love that with Wayfair, they have done the work to create a shortcut to the good stuff. They have a team of product specialists that are vetting everything. They have a 10-point inspection. They are testing things like the quality of the materials and does it work and the features and how long does it take to build. And they have so many different price points. So whether you're looking for new seating or outdoor stuff or appliances or lighting or rugs, whatever it is that you need, it's all in one place and they've done the work for you. Honestly, it's just there's so many options. The hardest thing is picking what amazing product you're going to get. They even can handle delivery and installation and assembly, and they have 20 million five-star reviews. So if you are ready to upgrade your home for way less, head to Wayfair.com right now to shop all things home and get your space ready for less. That's Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
So that's the first thing is just your family background. Second is, oh my Lord, especially as mothers these days, social media and the internet, it's a blessing and a huge curse because, you know, as you know, I'm sure everybody knows you see everyone's best moments, right? We're always right in front of us being compared to everyone's best moments. And everyone, including myself, comes up short on that one. So even that, I would say, well, gosh, no wonder I compare myself. So it's really taking, the way I think of it is, Heather, is it's taking grace and truth and applying it to every situation. So by that, I mean, like the truth part is, you know, I have this imperfect calendar, or I yelled at my kids, or, you know, I had to pull clothes out of the laundry and shake them out because I didn't get to laundry. Like there's truth to that. Yeah. Okay. And then There's the grace part is, but there's a reason. And even though I'm struggling, even though I wish I could take that moment back, I'm still a valuable person of great worth and value. My action here, this mistake I made, doesn't affect who I am as a person.
Well, talking of who you are as a person, do you think too there's certain personalities or wiring that are more prone towards a critical eye or judgment or holding a higher standard for themselves?
Oh, absolutely. I do think that.
Yeah. So if it's hardwired, it kind of feels like, well, then I'm stuck. I'm always like this. Never going to change. Like, are some people I know are just born positive people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People have different temperaments coming out of the womb. That is true. So to that, I would say, you know what? It's really hard to have been born with a temperament that's pretty harsh on myself, you know, that has super high standards. I came out that way and then that got reinforced through various means. It's hard to not have that half full temperament. And that makes things harder for me. And that's really difficult. Like, gosh, I'm dealing with a lot more than most people. I have to fight a battle that other people don't have to fight. And that's really difficult. I feel bad for myself.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. And it's not self-pity. You were talking about the difference. Uh-huh. So to tell the listener the difference between self-compassion and self-pity.
Yeah. So self-pity just says, I'm kind of a horrible, awful person. And, you know, that's it.
Right.
You know, case closed. But it's actually self-focused. Self-pity is. And, you know, people do it not meaning to. It's not intentional. But it's very self-focused. Whereas self-compassion says that I matter and so do other people. Like I can have other people's viewpoint in my sights. I can care about them, but I can also care about myself. And again, I make mistakes, but I'm also a valuable person. So self-pity actually usually leaves people completely stuck.
Mm. And until we figure this out for ourselves or start practicing it, it's hard to dictate to our children that they need to be more self-compassionate.
Right, right. And I think it's super good, you know, and I spend time in the book talking about that very thing. But, you know, I have a chapter to parents about becoming compassionate with yourselves. And then I have one about how to teach your children how to be compassionate. And then I kind of interweave it through the whole book. But the fact is, though, you know, like, let's say your child comes home, they have a really bad grade, and I'll just use that one. They had a bad grade. You know, they actually studied, you know that they did, but it's just kind of blanked, you know, when the test came and like things happen like that. And they come home, you're saying, I'm so stupid. And all the other kids are smart and I'm just stupid. And, you know, and let's say you say to them, you know what, honey, I'm so sorry that that happened. And you have to feel so terrible because you did study. I saw you study, and you and I, you know, did flashcards, and like, you worked hard. And it's so hard that you didn't do well on the test. But honey, you're stupid at all. You had a bad day. I mean, everybody has days where they blank out or they can't remember. You know, maybe you could talk to yourself and tell yourself, I'm a very good kid that studied hard, but I had a bad test. Like, so let's say you say that to them, and that's good to say. Mm-hmm. That's good. I would say something like that. But then an hour later, you're cooking dinner and you spill spaghetti on the floor or whatever it is you do, right? And you say to yourself, I am so stupid. Other mm-hmm. moms don't do this. And gosh, what is wrong with me? And your child's over there. Like, what are they going to believe, right?
Right.
The nice little thing you told them that was true. Or are they going to believe how you treat yourself?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's both. And so we tend to swing one side or the other. I'm all good or I'm all bad. It's like, oh no. I mean, God is all good, but he's the only one. And so, and so it's like, you know, we're all a big mix. And so it's important to be able to become comfortable with, yeah, I make lots of mistakes. I'm really sorry that I hurt you. I mean, I really, truly am. I'm going to learn from it. And I'm still a good person. I'm still valuable.
I think it's really great what you're saying, because I think in my mind, when one of my boys would act that way, not owning it, I would take it as a character flaw that they can't own their mistakes. But in truth, I need to give them the language of self-compassion.
Yeah, because they just don't know it.
I'm assuming mm-hmm. they, okay.
Yeah, they just don't know it. And they're just kind of trying to survive the whole thing, whatever it was, right? You know, let's see, I'm going to pretend it didn't happen. Yes. I'm going to blame somebody else.
It's not that big a deal.
Where the reality is, you know, it was a deal. Maybe it wasn't a big deal, but it needs to be addressed. And I love you and you're okay. Yeah, you made a mistake.
It's acknowledging it, putting words to it, and putting grace on top of it versus ignoring it and just saying everything's fine, which is not really
there's no hope of learning or growing if you don't acknowledge. Literally no hope.
Mm.
And so that's why it's so important to acknowledge.
Wow. So good. Okay. So I know, the whole book has tons of nuggets in it. Like, it's not just about self-compassion. There's all this parenting advice. What section is your favorite? Like, if you could get a mom and hang out with her and give her like the best advice beyond self-compassion, but something that you find moms struggle with.
I think it's, it is self-compassion, but maybe it's more specific. I have such a heart for moms who are so hard on themselves. It's like, what, we don't expect to have a learning curve? You don't expect to mess up? Like, why are we supposed to know everything about everything? I mean, things that we have no business knowing about, you know, like another, we don't have any experience. And so I feel like, I guess I want to say to moms is that you have an impossible job. And I don't mean that in a discouraging way. I mean that in a validating way. Our job is really hard. And the thing that I noticed was, and I'm sure all of you listening notice, is that just when you feel like you have it down, right? So, okay, now I know what to do with my 3-year-old. You know, they turn 4, right? And then you have a 7-year-old and you're like, okay, they seem to be, I'm getting better with helping them figure out school. And then they, you know, they go into 4th grade and it changes radically, or, you know, just pick your ages, right? And so it's an impossible job in the sense of it's never done. And every situation is a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
Because not just for children, because for sure that everything they're doing is, they're learning and they're failing and they're learning and they're failing. I mean, everything is trial and error, but it is moms too, see? And so let's say you raised your first child a certain way and this all worked for them, but boy, oh boy, it didn't work for the second one or the third one.
Even if they're the same gender.
It doesn't make any difference because they have a different temperament, right?
Yeah.
And so I would just say the part that's really good is that you want to be the best mom you can. You want to, really make a forever difference in your child's life. You want to raise a good person, a kind, you know, person who can succeed and live life, and all good, okay? But too much pressure on yourself. And so I would just say, be kind to yourself about all the pressure that you're under from yourself, from people around you, from media, and realize that the fact that you feel discouraged at times and you're exhausted and all of those things is just normal. It's normal. And try and take care of yourself.
So if we aren't practiced in being kind to ourselves, like we literally, the voice immediately pops in our head with the negative.
Yeah.
Do we say the thing you said earlier where it's, you know, this is hard for me after the voice pops up? Oh, there it is. Like just acknowledging that voice.
Well,
is that a start?
I would put a step right before that one. So yes, okay. I would do exactly what I said before. But what I would do, and I seriously do this even now, and like my husband laughs at me, but I say things out loud. And so I will actually, what I do is I hear a negative voice and I say to my, it isn't like, oh, you need to pay attention to that. It's like, you're bad, you know, that kind of voice, right? And so I put my hand up like a stop sign, like physically, I'll put my hand up to myself. And I say, stop, I'm not going to treat myself that way. I'm not going to get down on myself for something that was a normal mistake. And then I would probably go into the compassionate words, but you have to stop, at least for me, I have to stop. Like, you know, like with your kids, you would go, no, stop it right now, you know, but not in a harsh way, just more of a like, no, I'm not doing that to myself anymore. And even if you say to yourself, I don't know what to say instead, but what I do know is I'm not going to beat myself up. That's huge right there. That step is huge.
Yeah. And then is it outside of the time of mistakes that you come up with some phrases that you could say?
Yeah. So sometimes you can't in the moment. Sometimes it's just too hard.
So what are some of those good phrases? You've said so many already, but I think just saying them again and just to get in our head on repeat.
Sometimes I ask myself questions. And actually, to be honest, the first book probably has a lot more of that. I mean, the first book, the whole thing is about, you know, turning your inner critic into a compassionate friend. And then the second has a lot of that and is specifically applied to parenting. But in the first one, I remember I have a whole bunch of questions to ask myself, like things like I kind of challenge myself. So I'll say, okay, do I really think that I'm going to go through the day without making a mistake? You know, do I honestly believe that I will not hurt the people that I love? You know, do I believe that I'm actually not human? You know, I'll ask myself questions and then I'll even say things like, even though this is really hard, there's a lot I can learn from it. And there's a lot I can teach my children. Like I remember one time where I was really hard on myself and said it out loud, you know, and the kids are kind of cringing along with me, listening to my voice. And it took me several hours, but later I came back and I just said, you know, do you remember what I said to myself when I forgot to get your school supplies? Because my kids needed them. I didn't get them and it was due the next day, you know, and they told me. So like they did their part. And they said, yeah, you said you were stupid and a bad mom. And I said, I know. I said, how did you, so this is important too. How did you feel when I said that? And listen to this. This just shows you what happens inside of children. They said, we felt bad. And one of them said, I felt like maybe I shouldn't have asked you to go get my school supplies. So in other words, they're blaming themselves for something that like
they're taking ownership. Yeah.
Zero responsibility. Yeah. And I was so glad I asked because then I could correct it. And I said, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. And then I just, I said, gosh, you guys did the great job. You told me what to get. I wrote it down. Like you did everything just right. And I just forgot. And then I said, I feel bad that I treated myself that way. Like I just forgot. It's okay to forget. And I said, I'm just sorry that you felt bad too about what I said. And let's go get them now. Or I don't know what I did, but you know, we rectified it. But like they felt bad hearing me be mean to myself. But see, the thing is though, and I think I said too, I used that as an opportunity to say, what do you guys say to yourself when you mess up? So, I mean, it was really, it was kind of a nice way to, well, I say, you know, and they talked about it and you know what? And I say, well, what do you think the truth is? Do you think any of your friends do those things? You know, so we try to challenge these automatic beliefs that, you know, you're not supposed to make your mistake. As a mother, you're supposed to know everything. You're supposed to do it all perfect. Right. You're supposed to never be, you know, it's like, it's crazy making, because that, those are impossible, those beliefs.
I'm grateful for sponsors like Our Place who make episodes like this possible. Now, this summer, I am cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and not always, I'm often doing it more than one time because of different kids' schedules. And what I've loved is, one, I have great cookware. I have amazing cookware from Our Place. But two, I have gotten their Wonder Oven Pro, and it is honestly making my life so much better. It is one of the most used appliances in my kitchen, and my boys can use it too. It's kind of this 8-in-1 thing that preheats 60% faster than an oven, and it cooks 40% faster. So I don't know if any of you ever had an air fryer. Well, this does that. It's an air fryer. It also roasts, it bakes, it toasts, it reheats. We don't actually own a microwave. So for us, this Oven Pro, this Wonder Oven Pro is a wonder. It can also dehydrate, which I haven't used that feature yet, but I will. It broils, which I love doing with a bagel with a little butter on it. So delicious. And it's all in this compact footprint. I actually have it in the opening that's supposed to be where my microwave goes. Every cooking service is made without forever chemicals, and it's really, really great for these quick meals. If I have boys who maybe had leftovers from something they got out, I can reheat it very easily. I love throwing in, have lots of frozen options, whether it's chicken nuggets or french fries, so that it saves us money from them having to eat out. It crisps things up. I don't want to turn on the whole oven. It is summer. It is hot in Dallas. But with the Oven Pro, it's amazing. Again, I also love their cookware. It's so beautiful. If you are looking to upgrade your kitchen with Our Place today, visit fromourplace.com/DMA. Use the code DMA for 10% off site-wide. That's fromourplace.com/DMA. Use the code DMA for 10% off site-wide. With a 100-day trial, you can try it completely risk-free. This episode is brought to you thanks to Life Pro. Now, I don't know, have you all been online and you've seen, maybe it was over Christmas, so they were kind of hot, these vibration plates. No, I'm not talking about plates that you eat off of. It kind of looks like, if you remember back in the day, the step aerobics class you would take, it's like that. It's almost like a little platform that you stand on and it shakes, okay? It can look a little ridiculous, but here's the deal. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's not just theory. If you're like, does that really work? I'm telling you, it does. And you can decide how often you use it, when you use it, but I would recommend maybe after a workout, maybe if you're just watching TV. And here's what happens. You feel less puffy because it's helping your lymphatic system. It's helping get your body less swollen, less puffy, less sluggish. It is amazing. Whether you have tried ice rollers in the past or dry brushing, I'm telling you, if you're a person who's in the market, you definitely need to try out the Life Pro Waver Vibration Plate. It is stable. It's powerful. It's America's number one vibration plate brand. It's risk-free, 30-day returns, and they even have a lifetime warranty. So they stand behind their products. And for a limited time, our listeners get $20 off the Waver Vibration Plate, plus free shipping with the code DMA at lifeprofitness.com. That's lifeprofitness.com. Use the code DMA for $20 off. After you purchase, they're going to ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that we sent you. I went to go to Kim's website because I wanted to point you all to her amazing, she had audio clips of her sharing these great things you can say to yourself. And unfortunately, her website is down. And I did find that her Instagram was still there and she does have some video clips of her. So I will link to that in the show notes. But here's the deal. We just needed the reminder that the voice in our head matters. And every single day, we are deciding what we're going to speak to ourselves. The question is it true? And I think one of the biggest lies I have believed and still can go to and believe is there's a formula for being a good mom. if I just prayed enough, if I never had yelled, if I had given them the right foods, if we had done family devotionals, then somehow I would be enough, except for there isn't a formula. And I know this because of all the interviews I've done and all the different parenting experts. Guess what? Maybe you've read multiple parenting books or you've seen all the Instagrams. Parenting experts don't agree. One of y'all DM'd me from the last episode and it kind of broke my heart. There is a quote-unquote expert out there that's very popular in homeschooling circles who has communicated some parenting approaches that run very counter to what I shared from Connected Families. And it can be very hard if you're a mom of lots of young kids and you're trying to do this right and you get differing advice, whether it's sleep training, whether it's school choices, whether it is discipline or screen time, everybody disagrees, which means in my mind, there can't possibly be one perfect recipe. Instead, I have to realize God is not asking for perfection. I had this quote from A.W. Tozer. He says he's not looking for perfection. It's holy intention that matters. Holy intention. It's the intention you have to do this job well. You want to honor God. You want to love your kids well. I want to love my boys well. I want to show them do-overs and grace and apologize when I mess up or acknowledge, oh, you know what? That was a mistake. That's not how I want to do it. Let me try that again. I want to keep going. And that is what matters. Whenever I would read a scripture, I would focus in on what is my part in this and what is God's part. So when it comes to parenting, I've kind of boiled it down to what is my part? My part is to love, to meet real needs, to care. And that can take up my entire day. I need to pray to God and be like, God, can you direct my heart for what each kid needs today? Because that can be overwhelming. I need to confess. I need to apologize. I need to repent. I need to remain in God. But you know what God's part is? He is the redeemer. He is the transformer. He is the one who saves. He's the one who pursues. He's the one who holds it all together. And it is incredibly freeing when I'm walking on this road of parenting, and you are too, to be strengthened up in recognizing we can only do the part we've been assigned to do, and we can allow God to do his part in our kids' lives. I was never asked to be their Holy Spirit. I was asked to be their mom. And so often, based on our quote-unquote failures or how we're wired, we can decide that we are disqualified. We are not up to standard to be the mom that we have in our head that God wants us to be, whether it's based on our own mom's example, if she was amazing, or moms we are around, we can sometimes discount ourselves. And so I also wanted to include this clip from my friend Jada Edwards. She is reminding us that our qualification doesn't come from anything we do. We actually are disqualified. It comes from Christ. It comes from Jesus. So I really wanted to share this with you. She's amazing. And so listen in to this conversation with Jada Edwards.
But I will say this, the disqualification is, there's a fine line between feeling disqualified and just feeling grateful and humble. So I try not to let that send me into a place of immobility where I can't do it. I'm afraid or frozen. I try to let that just be a thing where David says, hey, I keep my sin before me, not because of shame, but because of that reminder that every time God uses me, every time someone's encouraged by something that comes out of my mouth, I say, man, God is good. He can use anybody. Gratitude, humility. So there's a fine line between knowing who you are and what a mess you are and being grateful that God's going to use you and that God does use you, and knowing who you are and being stuck in shame. So the disqualification, I mean, Paul says in Corinthians, we aren't qualified. Our qualification is in the Lord.
Right.
So disqualification in of itself is not a lie. That's a reality for us. But there's a caveat. God makes us qualified. And so it would be foolish and unwise and a waste of treasure for us to live in the disqualification when he's already changed that status and said, in me, you're qualified. So I think it's a constant conversation that I don't think how however successful you ever become in business or whatever it might be, ministry, you never get to a point where you're like, no, I'm good. I actually deserve to be here. And if you get to that point, you should be afraid.
we were just reading about the two men who go to the temple to pray, and the Pharisees like, I'm so amazing. I keep the law. Thank goodness I'm not like that guy over there, the tax collector, like the pride in his doing it all good. And then the tax collector simply says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's this recognition. Yes, I was disqualified, the sinner part, but also the awareness that there's a God out there who gives us boundless mercy and forgiveness, and he is the final word. And even though that Pharisee was judging, the tax collector's eyes were fixed on God, who ultimately gets to say who he is and what his value is, which is what I think a lot of this message in these studies is helping women do, is recognize, like, how do other people see me? How do I see myself? But ultimately, how does God see me?
Absolutely. Nope, I agree. And it is a total shift in perspective. And I would encourage anyone listening that to not be discouraged when that shift in perspective does not happen overnight. It's a path toward a new perspective. You can know things that are true, just like the moment you get saved or the moment you get healed or delivered or whatever. Your life generally is not drastically different the next day. And now you just have the ability to think differently and make new choices and all that. And so, yeah, it is a perspective change, but it's a path toward that perspective. Every day in my mind, I'm saying, okay, God, yes. All right. You can be glorified through me. Okay. Yes. This is how you see me. Okay. And I hear the other voices and I'm like, nope, that's not true. And I have to have that internal dialogue, you know, every single time. And it just, I don't think it goes away. I think that tension, that wrestle that Paul experienced, like in Romans 7, the thing that I don't want to do is what I'm doing. The thing I want to do is what I'm not doing. Yeah. It leads to gratitude. And like Roman, at the end of that whole internal dialogue he's having with himself in Romans 7, Romans 8, 1 says, but there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So he's like, I got all this crazy going on the inside, but man, I'm not condemned because, you know, life in Christ Jesus is freedom. There's the law of the spirit is a different law than the law of the flesh. And so the internal conflict is fine. It's just, you want that to be moving you down a path toward how God sees you and not a place where you get stuck in the internal conversation so much so that you can't live in the calling that God has for you.
Okay. That's just a tiny bit of my conversation with Jada, but I just loved what she had to say. And I'm actually going to share more of that episode in next week's episode, because I want to focus on the don't mom alone part of mothering, where it's the inviting others into our story. And I think she does such a good job of kind of sharing why that mattered to her. And it fits with this concept of not counting yourself out, not being disqualified, just really loving the version of mom God made you to be. So that'll be next week. Also, the Romans verse that she shared reminded me of a conversation I had with a mentor, Nancy. We call her Fancy Nancy at our church. But she said, Heather, you really need to clarify when you're having those feelings of failures, is this condemnation or is this conviction? Because condemnation will take us down. And there is therefore now no condemnation when we are in Christ. But conviction is the Holy Spirit. And so maybe that failure feeling or that tap on the shoulder is God saying, hey, maybe you need to get off your phone a little bit, or maybe you don't need to have that second glass of wine, or maybe whatever the thing is, or maybe, you know what, you're yelling at your kids a lot and you need to look at that. Like, what is causing that in your story? Like, yes, sometimes the failure is a really high bar. Sometimes it is, we need to look at an area of our parenting and figure out, like, is it not going well because we're totally stressed out and we need to reevaluate where we're putting our energy and we're overwhelmed because we've said yes to too many things? Is it that we aren't getting enough of a break and we need to communicate to our spouse or to our friends like, hey, I really need like time with you, or I really need time alone, or whatever that is. I did that recently. I was like, man, I'm just feeling like people are around all the time. And my life team was like, what would it look like for you to just get in your car and go somewhere and just sit in a parking lot even? Or I just went to the gym and I worked out, and I was like, oh, even that, just alone, me maybe listening to a podcast or a sermon or something or music, was enough to feel a little bit more recharged so I can be a better version of myself instead of going to the coping and the scrolling. So I hope that today, if you have a moment where you feel like a failure, welcome. You're in good company. If you are believing that one blip makes it a whole bad day or that one bad day makes you a bad mom, that's simply not true. If you're carrying around that scorecard, you can put it down. There is no good mom formula, but there is a good God, a God whose grace is bigger than your mistakes, a God who isn't asking you to be perfect. He's inviting you to trust him, to keep showing up, to keep apologizing, to keep loving, to keep growing, and maybe to let one trusted person into your story this week, because shame grows in secrecy and grace grows in community. So here's your mentor challenge for this week. The next time you hear yourself say, I'm such a terrible mom or I'm such a bad mom, pause and ask yourself, would I say this to my friend? If not, don't say it to yourself. Replace it with truth. Maybe it's, man, I had a hard moment, or God's grace is bigger, or my identity isn't based on today's parenting. And then tell somebody, text a friend, tell your small group, tell your spouse, because we don't heal by pretending. We heal by being known. Mom, you are not disqualified. You are deeply loved. You are still growing, and you don't have to mom alone. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much for the mom who is listening. I pray that we would turn to you, that we would do our part and let you do your part. I pray for grace, abundant grace. I pray for us to be led by conviction and not taken down by condemnation. I pray that we would allow others into our story. I pray that we would model graceful talk and self-compassion for our kids. And Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'll meet you back here next week. Don't forget, a lot of what I'm sharing in these mentor series comes from my book, Don't Mom Alone. If you want to grab a copy, there's a link to that in the show notes. That's a great read to share with friends maybe this fall, a little book club. All right, see you back here next week. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.